please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
Never better get checked. There ain't no difference when the king goes sick.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know, guys, I am glad to be here with you and given the opportunity to share my thoughts, and you have an opportunity to share your opinions as well. This is a show that your thoughts and opinions will always be respected, and we know that you're going to be heard loud and clear. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and discuss the topic of the day.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has set the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintained her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my Creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my Creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth,
igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
Mm-hmm.
James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, I wanted to talk to you all today about black and blue lives matter. Recently, we had an ambushing of several police officers throughout the country, and there seems to be a rise on violence against police. Now, normal individuals know and recognize that we need police officers. We need that the general public is being protected by those who would prey on us in a shameful manner or horrific manner. So the general public is protected by law enforcement. The problem is that somehow or another we get it twisted or confused. The fact that we believe that Black Lives Matter have nothing to do with the fact that we still praise and consider the work of most police officers as important. The lives of most police officers are important. But we can't get it mixed up. You know, we want to understand we all have to learn to live and respect one another. And it has gotten to the point where it seems that there is too often that we have a distrust for one another, and therefore we've been having some issues where police officers have taken some actions that should not have been taken that resulted in the death of young black Americans, both male and female. And so we need to recognize and address those issues, but not at the cost of forgetting the importance of being policed. I just want to go on record as saying I want there to be competent police officers on the street, making sure that we're safe. I want there to be people out there who regulate our society in a way that's fair for everyone, and that we need police officers to step up to the plate, or people to step up to the plate that take on the job of police officers so that the rest of us can go on with our lives and live it in a way that we are confident about what's going on around us. The problem comes in is that we don't need either side to have their lives taken away unfairly. We all should be comfortable with the fact that we're going to live until there's an accident or illness that takes us away from this earth. But there should never be some kind of understanding of anyone taking our lives. Blue lives can't take black lives, and black lives shouldn't be taking and black lives should not be taking blue lives. It's important for us to commit ourselves to making sure that life around the country is fair and that people are going to be treated with respect. We can't allow people to justify, use their selfishness and ill will to have a detriment to others. We all have to learn to get along and love one another. And the problem comes in is that there are too many people that seemingly think that they're the ones that should be making the decisions about the lives of other individuals. You know, we have young men and women who have some violent spirit inside of them, who've decided that the way they're going to get back at the bad behavior of a few bad officers is that they're going to take the lives of officers. And that's not what we mean about Black Lives Matter. We want there to be people to be assured that their lives will not be taken unjustly at the hands of anyone, be they black, blue, or purple. And so often we find ourselves in these situations where there shouldn't be conflict. There shouldn't be conflict. I do not want a police officer to lose his life on the job, no more than I want a young person to lose their life for a traffic ticket. all our lives have value and importance. And when I hear, when I wake up in the morning and I hear about an officer being ambushed, I'm very concerned about what direction our country is going in. I need them, the officers out there, to feel safe. I need the officers out there to be respected and appreciated for the job that they do. And I just need the officers to appreciate that their job, part of their job, is to serve and protect, and that they're not given a right to take the lives of anyone either unjustly. So anytime anybody takes somebody's life unjustly, no matter if it be a person in a blue uniform or a person of color, be black or white, then they should be dealt with accordingly. They would maybe have to sacrifice their own life or give up their freedom for the rest of their lives. So it's important for us as a society that we're governed by rules and by laws that will not allow people to just do whatever pops in their head and commit some of these heinous crimes. There were officers out there who died this last week or who were hospitalized this last week who have families, who count on them, and who love them, and who appreciate them. And that goes the same for young people and African-American males and females who are out there in the street who are loved by their families and shouldn't be taken away from them just because of a bias. So we just want to talk about today that black and blue lives matter, and that we're not happy with seeing either of them being destroyed or taken away from this earth unjustifiably. Kathy, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing wonderful. And yourself, Mr. Shane?
I'm doing great. I saw that you allowed some balloons to go off today. Well, what was that all about?
Well, a friend of mine's son was killed about 10, 15 years ago by gun violence. So once a year we try to get together to celebrate his life through the releasing of balloons. So it's just like a celebration of life.
Well, and I saw that, and it was so meaningful, and it kind of goes along with the topic today. I decided to talk about and discuss because in the last 3 or 4 days we've had 3 or 4 police officers who were ambushed. 2 or 3 of them have already died, and there's one on in critical condition whose life may not be saved. And so we just want to talk about what kind of impact that has on our society, because when we talk about Black Lives Matter, it does not mean that we want somehow to take our pound of flesh and have officers out there who can't do their job because they're being gunned down in the street. And so we just want to talk today about the value of life itself and how when we want to be police, we don't want our policemen's lives put in jeopardy, and we don't want our community's lives put in jeopardy. And somehow or another, we got to make that the storyline for the whole country, is that all lives matter, and we want policemen to be protected, and we want our young people to be protected. What are your thoughts about that, Cassie?
You're absolutely right. All lives do matter, because if you think about it, I mean, even the slogan of Black Lives Matter, there are black police officers and that wear a blue or brown or gray uniform, but they are still black. So black lives do matter, absolutely, because I'm an African-American woman who has an African-American husband and 2 adult male sons. So I am absolutely for that. But when it comes to ignorance of shooting someone down, I'm not for that. I'm not for someone ambushing a police officer, someone that is out there to protect and to serve the communities, because I'm thinking about what if those police officers would go away. What if they call Code Blue for a whole month? I wonder how the communities would be at that time. There would be robberies, there would be theft, there would be all sorts of things going on. So I think that they need to begin to start these forums or keep these forums going where they have the community talking to the police officers so they can get some more neighborhood watches going. I remember back in the day we used to have neighborhood watch where the an officer that works that neighborhood would come to the neighborhood watch and talk about the things that's going on in the community to try to keep everything safe and everybody safe. So I think that's wrong. And, again, it goes back to the evil that's going around in this world now. You know, where the Bible says that the Lord asked Satan, where have you been? To and fro, trying to see whom I may devour. So if it's somebody out there that has no kind of spiritual life, spiritual foundation, or any prayers going on, then yes, they are devious and up to everything under the sun, you know? So, yeah.
Well, Regina, you're out there and you're in a different part of the country. Kathy is out west and we're on the east. What are your thoughts regarding the fact that, you know, we had three or four officers that were gunned down in the last two or three days? And we want people to understand that when we are supporting Black Lives Matter, that does not mean at all that we want targets on the backs of our police officers. We want them to be as protected as well because they keep us safe. Ultimately, most police officers are out there doing their job to make sure that we're not falling prey to those people who don't care about life and liberty. Regina?
Yes.
What are your thoughts about, you know, what took place and the death of these officers?
I'm laughing because you asked my thought and then you gave my answer.
Okay.
Now, I have to be very honest with you. I've been focusing on, I've missed that aspect of the news, but I was speaking with someone yesterday and, you know, sharing what we talked about the other day about Kanye and how other people were affected by his selfishness and, you know, other jobs and things were involved. And then someone said, you know, stop focusing on Kanye, pray for him, but stop focusing on him because we had this tsunami and everything over in Japan, and that's where the center of the nuclear areas are, so we need to be paying attention to that. So I missed the situation about the police officers, but now that you are saying that to me, it outrages me. I am outraged because many of my friends are police officers, and I wouldn't want any of them to be gunned down. And just like I said the other day, when those guys were holding up the line at the traffic light, acting foolish, and then wanting to turn it around so that it was right. Yes, Black lives matter, but all lives matter. Black lives are the ones that seemingly are the ones that are being taken, but very honestly, we have to look at who's out there taking these lives. Many times it's us. So I just don't believe we should be totally outraged. I think we should be equally outraged. I guess that's what I want to say. Whether it's a police officer taking a life or one of your own taking a life. But police officers' lives matter. They have children. They are human beings. They are wonderful people. And we need them. And I'm just outraged.
And that's the thing we can't lose sight of. we have all different kinds of races of police officers, and the majority of them, like everything else, the majority of police officers are out there doing a respectable job. They're out there caring about their community. They're peaceful, loving individuals. And you run into a few rogue officers who are out there doing the wrong thing, and then we need to make the necessary adjustment when they do wrong.
I totally agree. I don't like the fact that when I see my friends who are police officers, that I've got to say, be careful. I mean, not that I would want them to be careful, but I've got to explicitly say this to them, and that I'm praying for you, because their lives are in danger more so than by the regular everyday criminal. You know, we know we can see these, but we can't see the minds of these sick individuals that are calling police officers to their aid and then ambush them. Those are some sick individuals. James?
Yes, I'm here. Well, I just
can't understand
the problem. I can't understand, Regina and Kathy, is that this is just makes common sense. Everything that's going on is common sense, and what I mean by that is nobody with good sense wants there to be open house on police officers. Because if it's open house on police officers, then it's open house on me. I mean, if a man is not afraid of shooting a police officer, then he ain't going to be nowhere scared of shooting me. And then the same thing, police officers, you understand, they protect and serve us. We want to respect them, but we cannot allow them to have open season on any race of people. So it's not that we're trying to be biased in terms of African Americans or biased for any citizen. We just want justice and respect and lawfulness for all, and that's what we're fighting for.
And you're absolutely right. I'm also sort of wondering. I don't know. Was this a top story in the news today, or was this over the last couple of days?
Well, this has been over the last couple of days. We've had several shootings or ambushes of police officers. I think that as many as 4 officers have been gunned down and shot between Sunday and today. 2 or 3 of those officers are already have died as a result of being ambushed. So we need to just let people understand that we're not going to tolerate either life, a blue life or a black life, to be taken in any fashion based on somebody just deciding on their own that these lives are not valuable. All lives are valuable, and we cannot tolerate our society being gunned down in the streets.
Okay. I was just wondering if it was, you know, something that was major headlines today, because we've also got to keep our eyes on what's happening and the appointments that are occurring. And those appointments are critical to the thinking of a lot of our, you know, how our children are going to be growing up, how our grandchildren will be growing up. Secretary of Education, who is pro voucher, pro choice, was just selected today. Our children will not be able to have those critical thinking modes and allow them to go to the police academy to become police officers and put valuable people out there in our neighborhood who can help us and help our children if we don't stay focused on who's at the top sending down regulations. So we've got to keep our eyes on everything that's going on, everything.
Andre, I see you're on the line. What are your thoughts, and what were you thinking earlier this week when you heard about those police officers being ambushed?
Well, yeah, I agree with the statement that you said earlier, all lives matter, and I agree also that we have to be in tune and aware of who's been selected and what their positions are. We're just in a state, I think everybody is just at wit's end, as we used to say. But again, it's not a time to give up. We're not forsaken. We may be down, but we're not out. And I just think this is the time for us to all, again, to do exactly what you're saying, rally together, take actions, make requirements and expectations known, and don't tolerate it. I was listening to a show, and I think it was the NAACP president of New York that had stated, you know, now is the time for us to make sure that we stay aware of what's going on around us. I know we get so tired and frustrated with what we're seeing on the television, but we have to balance it because we have to stay informed. But he also said make sure that we are taking the actions of not becoming numb to certain things. You know, when we heard about the racist group, with the Nazi sign and all hail to Trump and that kind of stuff, his point was don't become numb to that stuff. We have to make sure that we're standing up and saying we will not tolerate it, because if we don't, then we will truly find ourselves just like television stuff. You know, years and years ago when I was coming up, oh, my God, what a difference on what was allowed on television versus now. Well, you let a little bit go here, don't say nothing, then they'll take a little bit more. So I thought that was very provocative, making sure that we're not accepting things that's not acceptable.
And what happens is that, you know, it's never the people in the middle. It's never the people who are toward the middle of the far right or to the middle of the far left. It is the people on the fringes that create the violence and the ugliness that is surrounding us. And Audrey, you're so right. It starts out with people feeling comfortable to say the N-word, feeling comfortable to verbally assault each other in the street. And then, you know, so we have to be willing to stand up and make sure that the country knows that we're not going to tolerate our police being killed. We're not going to be tolerating anybody being shot down in the street. And we're going to punish whoever is found guilty of violating the lives of the people that we love. And we should be loving and caring for each other and marching in the streets. I'm just as unhappy about what took place in the election, but I'm moved on. I'm ready to now deal with life based on what we have, but I'm not going to tolerate people taking away my rights and my freedom and assaulting me in any fashion. And so I'm going to mandate that they treat us accordingly, and I'm going to mandate my voice be heard when anytime police officers are treated inappropriately. But I'm not going to be quiet when black lives are taken either. So I'm going to raise all kind of sand, and I hope my audience is prepared to raise all kind of sand when anybody's lives is violated. Kathy, well, let's go back to you. What are your thoughts about that? You know, we shouldn't tolerate anybody's life being violated.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that we need to separate the Black Lives Matter from all of the different violence and the police attacks, because I don't believe that's their mission to have attacks on the police office. What I believe is that they're standing for something good, but that people who have no value for themselves have kind of attached themselves to them. So when they do something, people, the media, automatically call out Black Lives Matter, but I don't think they have anything to do with it, because the founder and the co-founder were in a meeting and they were talking about the different things that what they stand for, and it had nothing to do with violence. It all had to do with their rights and what they believe, and that, yes, they want justice for the things that have been happening by the police officers. So I just wanted to say that, because we usually put every time that there's a police shooting or something happened to the police, we instantly bring up Black Lives Matter as we attach that to them, and I don't think that they should be attached to that, because I don't think it's their fault. I could be wrong, but I was just sitting here thinking as everyone is speaking. And also I wanted to bring up something Audrey just talked about, and she talked about there being a numbness in the people, and there's also a numbness in the believers as well, because we have stopped praying. We have gotten off our post, and we need to get back on our post and begin to pray more. As we sit down and eat, not just a regular thank you for this food, we need to begin to pray in the spirit. We need to begin to war for these things that are going on. We need to pray in the morning, pray in the evening, pray before we go to bed. Every time the spirit unctions us to pray about the police officers. I, too, have relatives that are police officers. My pastor is a police officer. So I'm always on my face for my family members and my pastor, because that's very important. And I'm also praying for my family because, again, I'm an African-American woman with African-American, family members. But that's one thing that I think that as a person we need to begin to do more. We're not doing that. People are numb. When you talk about prayer, people look at you like, oh, really, like it doesn't work. Prayer works. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. And we need to begin to do that more than we're doing anything else.
And you're so right. You know, we can't lose our focus. And we got to believe that all we need to pray for, not only our police officers, not only praying for our Black communities, we need to pray for President Trump. You know, there's a lot of stories in the Bible where God took somebody we thought was going to be detrimental or was detrimental to society, and he turned them into one of the most valued individuals there's ever been. And so certainly we want to make sure that that's what happens now. We want to make sure that we give everyone the opportunity to be a positive force in the world and not just assume just because of the color of their skin they're a negative force. Audrey, what are your thoughts about how we can get rid of this negative stereotype about young African Americans and let them recognize that they need to spend time recognizing that these people's lives matter?
I think it was Kathy that just spoke. How prevalent and relevant it is, that statement of her saying, being mindful of, don't naturally associate Black Lives Matter with police officers matters or Christian lives matter or whatever the case may be, because that's a trick. That is a trick, because like you say, if you start just always automatically associating with that, who says that they have to be associated or one is more powerful than the other? So that is a good point. I do think, to answer your question, how do we resolve it? I have to keep saying the same thing what I always say, is that we have to communicate and we have to start these programs where we mentor and coach and actually build relationships and talk it through. And there's no more powerful weapon than prayer. Prayer is what changed things. It's what changed people. It's what changes situations. So no matter who's elected, we had stated that, you know, we know who's in ultimate control, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we have to walk by faith, and in that faith, not only do we pray, we have to put actions into works. So I think that's the answer of us, you know, coming together, communicating with each other, and working towards a solution together.
And, you know, that's the thing, too. You know, we have to recognize that all the individuals They start from somewhere. Police officers are not just born adults. Young African Americans are not just born adults. And so, therefore, we have to intervene in the lives of these people at a young age and teach them not to be afraid of one another. It's amazing to me how in pro football, black, white adult teammates and love each other, and they cry when each other are hurting. And then you have, you know, and all in the different sports where these guys become teammates and they cry when each other are in pain or one is lost. But somehow or another, we don't seem to have that same affection or connection related to police officers and people of the general public in our society, that there should be some humanity to how people are treated. And you can't, we're all human, we all bleed, and we're all in pain, and we all need to be respected. Cassie? Are you still there, Cassie?
Yes, I'm here, James. I'm here.
And we just talking about how can we get to the point? Just think about, Cassie, you're in a mixed church, and your church has become a family despite the fact they're a mixed congregation. Well, how do we get our society to become a family?
Hey, we got to stop looking on the outside and start looking on the inside. That's the problem. That's, I believe it was Audrey just saying, we want by faith and not by sight. So I always say to people that I'm talking to, close your eyes and begin to talk to the person across from you. When you listen to the person's voice and to their spirit, then you're going to connect with them. But when you open your eyes, you're going to see something totally different. So you got to stop looking at the outside and begin to look at the inside of the person. And that's how you connect, because your spirit will connect. If that person is on the same wavelength as you are, your spirit is going to connect. If that person is not right, something's going on, your spirit is going to let you know that that's for, hey, there's something going on here. You need to either bag that, you need to re-evaluate who you're in your inner circle with, and you need to pray and ask God, is there somebody that you want to work out? Is there somebody that you need to be in contact with, or do you need to just remove yourself from that situation?
Regina, let me pose that question to you. How do we get Americans to act like family, the way we come together over sports events, and we be so proud over the Olympics, and we are one when it comes to sports, but somehow we become so divided when it comes to life. How do we get beyond that?
James, I really think it takes an individual effort, and it's just like the fingers on a hand. All of them serve a particular purpose. And when they are together, they serve a greater purpose. So it takes individual mindset to decide that whatever it was that you just said is what they want to do. And once that mindset has been in place and you have a lot of individuals coming together, then you'll achieve it. But you're always going to have those that are guided by spirits of darkness and who are going to be out there with the devil going to and fro, you know, doing things that they shouldn't be doing. But it takes a collective effort.
Sure, you know, I am at wit's end when I think about this issue, because, you know, I went to a middle school, elementary school, where I was the only black at an elementary school. And I saw those white students as my friends. And I never did think of them as the enemy. And we became classmates. We became, players on the football team and on the basketball team. We became, who were looking for a sign cause. And so I just asked, how do we do that or develop that kind kind of same love. You know, you're in the corporate world where you all trying to get things accomplished, and it's not about color. It's about doing what's best for the organization. So how do we do what's best for America?
You just do it. You just do it. You have to just start, and you have to just take action. And as it relates to my experience coming up, similar, I'm a similar age to you. You're a little older than I am. But I remember going to St. Patrick's, the white Catholic school it was. That was the first part of segregation. I was in the fourth grade, and one of the students that was at that school, you know, the black Catholics came over, and they closed the black Catholic school down, and so we had to go to that one. But anyway, it was this one girl in our class, because her family was in the military, they were much more exposed to blacks and whites together. So she invited us over to her house to spend the night over. And, of course, she invited us, myself and a couple more blacks, and then she invited the whites. But the whites would not come if the blacks went. And of course, the black parents, you know, they all got together to make sure if one was going, more than one would go, you know, and that kind of stuff. But I say that to say that that parent or that family, they took action, and they started to try to build the bridge. And, I mean, that experience brought us closer, the one that did go and spend the night, to her so much. And that started breaking down, I think, barriers, such that the other whites that didn't go, at least they saw that, you know, black and white could get together and talk. So I think the answer is we just have to start doing something. It's not about solving the whole problem. No, we can't do that. But every little bit is bringing us closer to a solution.
And I think you're right. You know, we have to find some common ground that so that when we see a different situation or see the same situation, that we don't envision it differently. Because, you know, it hurts me and pains me awful when I hear of anybody dying unnecessarily. The only way you should die, again, is my thoughts is you die by accident or you die by illness. You should not die because someone else has decided that your life no longer matters and want to put your life to an end when there's so many people who count on you and who love you. And since your life should be able to go as long as the Lord decides, you should continue to breathe. And it's just amazing to me, you know, that I spend my time, even now when I'm at the gym, I try to open up a dialogue with all different colors of people because I want them to feel comfortable with me, and hopefully that will transcend to them feeling comfortable with others. And again, Kathy, I go to you because you have a comfort level that is like no other because you are involved in a regular basis at your job and at your church with all different colors of people. I noticed in your video today that you had all multicolors of people.
Yes, it does. And, you know, from being in the service, I've learned that, again, you can't look at the outside, but you have to look at the inside of a person. And I've met all kinds of people. And even being on the police force, you know, it's whoever, again, whoever you connect with, because you may have somebody that's of a Hispanic descent that connect with you, that will protect you, that will talk to you, that will love you. And so, and then on the other end, you'll have somebody else, but then you have to choose, who am I going to be with? So I'm going to be with the person that connects with me. So that's why we saw people of all nationalities and colors in that circle.
Regina, what, you know, let me talk to you. What things do you think the school system could possibly do to alleviate some of these issues that we're having?
I think the school system
Well, you know, I really, what you've always said, what they should do is do a course in humanities or teaching people, explicitly teaching these young people how to be humane. I think that's something that they need to do. Not having the schools segregated, though, although segregation is illegal, it is still very much alive because it depends on where you live as to where you go to school. And you saw what happened up north somewhere where the woman wanted her children, she was put in jail because she used a different address so that her children could get a better education. And I don't want to think that there's a conspiracy going on, but there are areas that you see a lot of the Section 8 houses, or you see a lot of the apartments, the public housing apartments, and a lot of those are predominantly African-American or, you know, low-income, other ethnicities. So I think we have to start spreading the wealth or spreading people out and mixing up the neighborhood so that the schools that the children attend will be not segregated. And that's one thing start doing.
And you're so right. We have to get people in our classrooms together so young people can see how much more they are alike than they are different, and so that they can have an understanding of who they are. And because there's entirely too much hatred going on related to races, and the amount of pain people are willing to inflict on one another because of how different they feel about each other. You know, so it's important that the schools get involved and the after school programs get involved, and we show the people that, you know, I think when Andre talked about us being numb, we see so much violence on YouTube and different medias that people think this is how some people on the fringes, again, think that's how they should behave, that they should just strike out in violence and do some of these horrific things to each other. But we got to recognize and understand that we're human and we bleed. And when you take somebody's life, your freedom is going to be taken away once you're caught. And that is just a very destructive thing to our communities. Right now here in America, we have more people locked up than anywhere else in the world. And a lot of that has to do with violence. Andre?
And then I think we can prevent a lot of that, again, by having a relationship and a commitment of having positive role models, and just really a lot of times knowing that people expect for you to do better and expect for you to carry yourself in a certain way, so that we can prevent all these, we can reduce a lot of the numbers of people that's being in prison, because it'll help them to make choices. Some people are making choices. Some people are wrongfully, in the judicial system. The best thing to do is to make sure you try to stay out of by all means necessary. That's the key piece of it. But we just have to really have some sacrifices by people such that we're giving of our time. You know, a lot of times people say, you know, donations and that kind of stuff. And that's good. We have to have money to fund certain things. But what is more important even than the fun is, you know, putting your talents to work, giving of yourself, giving of your time to help save one. If we can help save one, you know, I was just thinking today earlier the commercials came on about the number of children that are up for adoption. And I went to a girl's home probably about 3 weekends ago and just did some arts and craft with them and just got to know them and that kind of stuff like that. And it was saddened because I was saddened because, you know, they just actually outright, these are teenagers, and they're not easily adopted, and they just came out and asked, you know, would you adopt me? And I just, my heart is just, it just goes out, and I said, you know what? You know, I need to position myself such that I can give back. I mean, I do for my grand and that kind of stuff, and I'm so blessed to be able to. But, you know, it's an opportunity for me to touch another person's life in a different way.
You know, we have to all determine how do we participate in making life and the world better, making America better. As far as I'm concerned, America is great, and we just need to try to focus on what steps can we do or take as individuals to make it even better. You know, we're at that time again, and so, Kathy, I'm going to go to you. What is your final thoughts for today, Kathy?
About making America great again. And like you said, America is already great, but every person, if they do one thing, then that's going to make it even greater, you know. Like Andre said, just you know, she's going to redo some things that in her life. So, and we all need to reevaluate what we're doing because we can add one more thing to what we do.
Okay, Regina, what is your final thought for today?
We just have to always stay aware and be aware and always strive, in my opinion, each individual should always strive to be better and to do better. And to do better for you know, for society. So I think that's what we need to do.
Audrey, your final thoughts?
Actions speak louder than words. Words are powerful. It's good to speak up. It's good to speak out. But it's our actions that will make a difference. And if we can just help one, don't get hung up on the big number trying to do the whole thing. That's not what we're here to do. But if we can just help one, and, you know, each of us help one, then we're that much closer to being the best that we can be.
Well, I want to just go on record. And I hope that all three of you all feel embarrassed because I believe that you have not done what we were talking about, being called to action. I received 2 T-shirts today, free hugs. And so I already got my free hugs T-shirt. And I already purchased my Jesus, downloaded my Jesus song. So I'm telling you, I'm on top of things. When I get called to action, I call y'all to action, I'm on top of it. Now, Regina, have you gotten your free hug T-shirt?
No.
Regina.
Uh-huh.
Have you gotten your free hug T-shirt?
No, from where?
Andre, have you gotten your free hug T-shirt?
I don't even know what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
Uh-huh. Cassie.
Yeah. What is he talking about?
Yeah, right. You all know we talked about the organization that this man started out in California saying free hugs. And I told you all we needed to support him, and I got my free hugs T-shirt, and I'm ready to sport it. It's black and it's white, and I'm going to wear it. Now, it's going to be a little snug because he only had 3X. I wish he had 5X. But I just want to tell you, when I tell you what I'm going to do, you know the man is about love, and he's about promoting love and with community, free hugs for officers as well as every other race of people. So I'm just telling you, I'm doing what I said I was going to do.
I'm going to miss that, Joe. We have to do a repeat on it, please.
Well,
James,
Google
send me
free.
The address. James, send me the
Google
address.
Free.
For that
all
man.
You got to do is Google free hugs, and it's freehugs.tv. So it's a black
TV.
Man, a young man. He's a black young man from, I think, West the West Coast, and he was a runner, and now he goes around. He has an organization called Free Hugs, and he goes to all these communities where they've gotten all this, you know, this division, and he says, hey, I'm giving away free hugs. Mm-hmm. He's even gone to Donald Trump campaigns and gave free hugs. So I'm just telling you, I'm on top of things. I ain't going to say nothing. Every time I do it, I got my Black Lives Matter T-shirt. So I'm doing what I can do, and I'm encouraging my audience to do the same.
Well,
when
I get the address, then I'm going to order that shirt. Free hug.
Okay.
Now, I hope Miss Fraser comes up and hug me.
See, there you go. Even a stranger needs love. So what's the problem?
Man, please. So he's trying to set us up.
All right. Well,
he's trying to set the ladies up. Nobody.
Hey, well, look here. If I get an attractive woman to give me a free hug, then it'll be worth that money I spent for that T-shirt.
My luck will be somebody toothless. I'm sorry.
Well, look, I want to thank you all for y'all's support. And make sure y'all here tomorrow at 6 p.m. That's Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. Brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
Down the home ground.